This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Oh no, not again. Southern Turkey hit by an earthquake. And then the president with a surprise trip to Kyiv under the dark of cover. Who knew? Not very many people. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much, as always, for hanging out with us here on this show. He didn't hang with too many people. It was a big photo op for sure, and the first time that we've had an American president in a war-torn situation in a very, very long time. Unprecedented risk, that's for sure. Absolutely historic. Some say not so smart. Others say thumbs up. The reaction mixed, as expected, on the Hill. What do you think? Here's what President Biden had to say once he had the time after touring a memorial wall and parts of Kyiv, meeting with President Zelensky over in Ukraine. Here was some of his words.
1 year ago this week, and we spoke on the telephone, Mr. President. It was very late at night in Washington, very early in the morning here in Kyiv. Russian planes were in the air and tanks were rolling across your border. You told me that you could hear explosions in the background. I'll never forget that. And the world was about to change. I remember it vividly. Because I asked you, what is there, Mr. President? What can I do for you? How can I be of help? And I don't know if you remember what you said to me, but you said, and I quote, "Gather the leaders of the world, ask them to support Ukraine." The world was literally at the time bracing for the fall of Kyiv. Seems like a lot longer ago than a year, but think back to that year. Perhaps even the end of Ukraine. You know, 1 year later, Kyiv stands, and Ukraine stands, democracy stands, the Americans stand with you, and the world stands with you.
So as I mentioned, that was part of what the president had to say. Very cloak and dagger moves that made this work for Biden to sneak into Ukraine's war zone. Let's face it, a news blackout, which is incredibly unusual. And it was slipping out of Washington, not even on Air Force One, taking a train from Poland. I guess this was being planned for about a week. An air raid siren erupting as he was walking through the capital city, which, of course, signaling that a Russian military jet armed with missiles had taken off from its home territory. There were certainly risks for the president to be in this situation, no matter what the Secret Service does, and they do incredible work to try to secure the area. Biden told his aides months ago that he wanted to travel to Ukraine, but he only made the final decision on Friday after a last-minute huddle, apparently, in the Oval Office and a phone call with his National Security Cabinet. And then they put this plan in motion that was holding down close information. Just two journalists were even summoned and told of the trip so they could prepare to be on it. And they were told to watch for an email with the subject line, "Arrival instructions for the golf tournament." And then there would be these further instructions as to what they were supposed to do. So Saturday night, it was very routine for the president, and he was supposed to go to Poland to mark Ukraine's war first anniversary, but that trip was not scheduled to start until Monday, and he did what he normally does. There was a mass at Georgetown University, a visit to the National Museum of American History, and all of that. So anybody following along would think that nothing unusual was happening here. And then from the White House, there were only a few people that went with the president, too. The deputy chief of staff was one of them, the director of Oval Office Operations, and one other, and that's it. There was a small medical staff. There was bare bones, this operation. And like I said, no Air Force One, instead an Air Force C-32, which usually is utilized to go into smaller airports. The plane sat in the dark, the shades were drawn away from the tarmac where it's usually parked for presidential travel, and it took off at 4:15 a.m., 22 hours, that's the journey, right? So normally that would be planes and motorcades and all that kind of stuff, and it did involve some of that, but as I said, very subdued, and go to Poland, and then ultimately go to Kyiv for meeting President Zelensky, and in the war zone. But Biden, feeling that it was important to make the trip because of what he said was the critical juncture that we find ourselves in as we approach that one-year anniversary of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. So after this trip, you know, it boggles my mind to think of how to try to pull this off with so much press normally around, especially. But it's on that train, heavy security, just a couple of onlookers, that's it. Eight-car train just rumbling through the Polish-Ukrainian countryside for 10 hours, mostly in the dark. Just streetlights off in a distance, that's it. A couple of stops to pick up security personnel along the way, and that was all it took. And so then it's the bigger part of this. It's not just about how was this pulled off, but was it a journey that was worth it? And what does it say about the United States and the investment in Ukraine and what's happening with Russia? And the fact that we are turning the corner on 1 year, 1 year, and just enduring support for Ukraine. Enduring support for Ukraine, and the announcement, of course, of more money for the Ukrainians, $460 million more in aid, but still nothing of the F-16s, which is what President Zelensky has signaled they really, really need. He's not gone in that direction, but has promised money for other aid and has said that Washington will back Ukraine against Russia for as long as it takes. There are some people in America that think with the no near-term prospect of peace talks that some of that support is, some Americans are kind of waning on this, that it's just too much. You know, more Americans are saying there's too much aid to this country. And so now there is starting to be a little bit of a partisan divide that we weren't seeing as much in the beginning. Pew Research has the numbers. I'm going to tell you about that coming up. Plus that earthquake in Turkey and what's happening on the ground in the U.S. on the flip side.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends.
Yeah, in this country, we go around in a lot of circles, that's for sure. Remember, we still have the unofficial poll that we kicked off the other day. Should we pay for some F-16s? It's funny, because, of course, I had no knowledge of the president's secret trip to Kyiv. And then, boom, just as I'm speaking, he's on that train and then arriving in Kyiv. And then, finally, that information starts to flow out. By the way, the Russians were notified several hours before he was there to be told, the military to be told, to be on high alert, so to speak. In other words, back off, Jack. The president is in Kyiv, and you don't want to be lobbing a missile there just in case. They didn't say that specifically, but just warned that he was going to be there. All right, speaking of warnings, we're going to get into the Turkey thing, plus, if you live in the Minneapolis, that would be Minneapolis, they're making 1,600 free parking spots available because they think they're going to get a foot of snow coming up in the next couple of days. Got an ice storm smashing into Michigan, Wisconsin, heavy snow and ice. You get it. A winter storm watch, 38 Michigan counties especially are going to get completely slammed. A lot of the wet stuff and the white stuff across a swath, I like that word, swath of the United States. Meanwhile, in Florida, the temperature has been turned up. It's going to be 90 in Orlando on Wednesday. So more about Americans, you and me, and there's other people I know from other countries that are listening too, and their countries are discussing aid and how much they're giving and what's happening there. But as we're getting close to that first anniversary, and some of the support is waning for the Ukraine, this poll from the Pew Research Center, which, remember, is supposed to be balanced. It's not slanted right or left or in any way. It's just the stats, and that's that. So The poll found that about a quarter of Americans now say the U.S. is providing too much support to Ukraine, up 6 points since September, 19 since March, which would be shortly after the war started. 31% say it's giving the right amount. One-fifth of Americans would like to see the United States give Ukraine additional assistance. One-fifth, according to this poll. Remember, this is a poll. Over 20% said they weren't sure. That tells you something. People kind of, I'm not sure, right? So the share of Americans who believe the United States has provided too much support through economic assistance and weapons is a greater among Republicans, 40%, but Republican leadership is pretty divided. You know, before he was the House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy warned that a Republican-controlled House would oppose more aid for Ukraine. A lot. He said that a couple of times. Meanwhile, you've got Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who's pretty solid with his support of Ukraine. Says it over and over and over and over and over again. So McConnell, in fact, has said that the United States and our friends and our partners have done enough to prevent Ukraine from losing, but we've not yet done enough to help Ukraine actually win. He said that last week. And he said a protracted stalemate, and this is an interesting thing that he said. A protracted stalemate is neither in Ukraine's interest nor ours. So think about that for a minute. What happens if they're out? What happens if they lost? Russia takes over. What does that mean? Especially since now we've seen it's Russia against a big chunk of the world, right? Most of the world. And then here you have the president who supports the effort with 31 premier battle tanks, the M1 Abrams, which is top of the line, and Congress approving the $110 billion in aid since the war began last February, but still none of those F-16s, because that's really what Zelensky says they really, really need to stop part of what's happening with Russia, what Russia's lobbying at them. So where the hesitation has, the line has been some of the bigger ticket items, the Patriot missile system, which is the most advanced air defense weapon in the United States arsenal that we have. So that hasn't happened. And like I said, those jets, of course. And this is one of the pleas of Zelensky. Provide greater support and not back down in the face of any kind of Russian aggression. In fact, making that appeal, if you remember, in person before a joint meeting of Congress in December, saying your money is not charity. It's an investment in the global security and democracy that we handle in the most responsible way. And that was part of McConnell and what he was saying. Is this an investment in global security and democracy that we can't afford to lose? That a protracted stalemate, as McConnell said, is not in Ukraine's interest, of course, but not in ours either. But do Americans really feel that way? Or are they just fatigued with all of that conversation? It is an interesting question. Look around your neighborhoods. Are there Ukrainian flags? We support Ukraine. In the beginning, you really saw a lot of that. I'm still seeing some of the flags, and I'm seeing local stories in the state of Florida. I saw it in Texas. I saw it in South Carolina when I was recently there. So I think it's a coin flip in some places. Turkey, it's no coin flip, it's just shocking, rocked by 6.3 magnitude quake. This is 2 weeks after the ground trembled, killing more than 45,000 people, really closer to 50,000, but officially 45,000. And now they say more people will be found dead, but not on the scale of what happened initially in the beginning of February, but you did have buildings swaying. You did have people trapped. You did have some people that were trapped inside already damaged buildings. Officially, 3 people were killed, 213 injured. An aid group with workers in Syria said people jumped from buildings in panic. Because when that's happened, after everything they've been through, the shock of it all, they just jumped. They are shaken to their core. Shaken to their core by what they are seeing and what they are feeling. And then here's the thing. Buildings that survived, including in the area where they're still digging out bodies, may have been weakened and collapsed. And especially with this latest quake, which they're looking for shelter, not good. And, of course, the U.S. is providing assistance since the first round of quakes. You had the Secretary of State who took a helicopter tour Sunday of some of the worst areas and pledged $100 million to help that area. But I think the really scary and shocking thing is that most of the injuries were a result of people panicking, that people jumped for fear of their buildings collapsing. And luckily, they weren't any of the deaths, but they were some that were seriously injured. Right? And, you know, you got about 1.6 million people that are right now housed in some temporary shelters. This is some of the worst devastation that we have seen from afar in a very, very, very long time. So that was back in February 6th when you had the 7.8 quake that slammed into southern Turkey. And then hours later, 7.5, just about 60 miles away. And then all those aftershocks that really rocked the world of the people in that tiny slice of Syria and Turkey. So here it is, weeks later, a lot of people in the streets still without shelter. Lots of Americans, a lot of great organizations going to help, doing whatever they can, and also trying to assess the damage level of buildings, which is a very tough task to do. You got to make quick evaluations, and a limited number of experts. So actually, we've sent some experts to help in that area, too. It's not just search and rescue. It's not just feeding and humanitarian aspects of it. It's structural engineers who are looking at buildings. All right, coming up next, a conversation with Ryan Clark, who's a chef from Tucson, Arizona. Before the NASCAR race, he threw down some pretty good recipes, so we're going to revisit that conversation and then talk about the winter weather. Brr.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. flood alert still for California as more rain is on the way. The National Weather Service issuing a flood watch for nearly the entire coast of California, from Redding to San Diego and the Mexico border, putting about 37 million residents on alert. The U.S. conducting strikes against Houthi anti-ship cruise missiles and vessels on Saturday, including an unmanned underwater vessel the Iranian-backed rebel group has used. Five strikes in total were conducted against three anti-ship cruise missiles, one unmanned underwater vessel, and one unmanned surface vessel. Former President Jimmy Carter marking 1 year in hospice care yesterday, his family celebrating his strength. Jimmy Carter right now 99 years old, the oldest living U.S. president in history. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Youngevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
The 65th annual Daytona 500, boy, is it right upon us right now. So that means you're probably planning for tailgating, at-home watch parties, all that kind of cool stuff. I know I am. I'm excited about it. Chef Ryan Clark, I'm also excited about him joining us moments from now. Tucson's Iron Chef for three consecutive years, executive chef for the AAA Four Diamond and Forbes four-star hotel Casino del Sol. So he's at the Daytona International Speedway, home of the beef. It's What's for Dinner 300. Think about that. What's for Dinner 300? Ooh, that sounds so good. So, Chef, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the beef. It's What's for Dinner 300. I love it. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, we're super excited to be here. So we've got a lot of amazing tailgate recipes. You know, I think a racing season, beef is the first thing that comes to mind. So we put together a few recipes that you can make for your tailgate or if you're at home and you're doing a little home gating.
So obviously you've got some game dishes for us. What game dishes are you planning to prepare this NASCAR season?
Yeah, so we got this really good one. It's called beef, beer, and cheese dip. So beef being the star. We're using ground beef for that. It's really hearty and delicious, perfect for tailgate. So you can use tortilla chips to dip, but my go-to, French fries. You get those little cheesy fries with the ground beef on it. And we also have a barbecue beef slider. So these sliders are made with short rib. It's one of my favorite cuts. We slow cook the short rib in barbecue sauce and a little bit of beef stock. Super flavorful and just falls apart tender.
Ooh, cheesy French fries. I can't get it out of my head. How do we make that?
Well, you start with a good base with your cheese sauce, and we make that with a little bit of cream and a couple different types of cheese, and then ground beef. That's the star. So a little bit of ground beef. I like to use my own seasoning blend, but you could use taco seasoning to season up the beef, and then you just blend the two together. You can top it off with jalapenos and make it fun, kind of whatever kind of condiments that you like.
Ooh, that sounds so good. Can you share some tips, Chef, to help anyone prepare the perfect tailgate spread? You just gave us one of them.
Yeah, if you're doing tailgate, I think it's important to plan ahead. So make sure that you have, you know, all your prep done. That way you can enjoy the festivities, enjoy, you know, family and friends. Make sure you prepare plenty of food. That's always very important. And then you got to get into the tools. So if you're cooking outside, having a canopy is a really good idea, you know, in case you have weather come up, big ice chest full of ice. And then if you're grilling, it's important to have a thermometer. Instant read thermometer is really nice for grilling burgers. You can get that perfect 160 degree on it. Or if you're doing steaks for a bunch of different people, you can cook it to the temperature that they like. And then I also like to bring extra utensils. I think that's super important, especially if you're cooking off-site and you're, you know, tailgating and you're not at home. That way, if you drop a utensil, you got plenty of backup. Just a few tips and tricks for your next tailgate.
Yeah, and you're good at this. What are some other tips for making your dollar really stretch when you're hosting a party or feeding a big crowd? Like, I always have a big crowd.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's different cuts for different budgets. So when you're at the grocery store, I look for good deals. Ground beef is always a good value buy. But you could also substitute cuts. So we talked about the short rib slider. You could certainly use a chuck roast. It's going to be a little bit less expensive, but it's going to be super flavorful, and it's going to fall apart in that same style when you low and slow braise it.
Ooh, sounds awesome. I'd be remiss not to ask you this because I'm so excited about Casino del Sol. I am anxious to go there and try it, and you have such a great reputation. But did you ever think that you would end up, when you were at culinary school, in the position that you're in now?
No, definitely not. I went to school in New York at the CIA, and I made it back to Tucson, which is an amazing place to live. Casino del Sol is obviously a big resort, and we got a lot to offer there.
Wow. All right, so where can our listeners go to learn more about what we've just talked about and see your recipes?
Yeah, so we have a bunch of recipes, tips, and tricks. You go to beefitswhatsfordinner.com.
All right, Chef Ryan Clark, we'll keep looking for you. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Ooh, think about that. Beef, beer, and cheese dip. It's still like in my mind, and especially with the cheese fries, that he said it was his favorite way. You know, not all cheese fries are created equal. So I have to like run probably around the neighborhood three or four times before I eat cheese fries, because I remember the days when, yes, beer and cheese fries were it's what's for dinner, and for tailgates, it is a really, really good thing. By the way, just a quick aside, I said this the other night, Ricky Steinhouse Jr. won the Daytona 500. It was, we're talking about a 199 race winless streak. He hadn't won in that long. Victory lane for the first time since 2017. And wow. So a big, big moment for him. It's the Super Bowl of NASCAR because you start with the big event and then the other races along the way. This is just the beginning of the season. And he had long odds. You know, he was like 33-34-1, I think, at kind of midway through this to win it. He certainly was not one of the favorites, but that's a very, very big win, just as a quick aside for him. I don't think he's worried about snow, but there is snow, my friends, that is covering so many areas of the U.S. And in Minneapolis, they know they're really going to get socked with it. When you're talking about people that are used to a lot of snow, so much so that and it's been a long time. The last time that I was in a winter situation in Minneapolis, I remember thinking, what are these sticks? Because you go to the store and you get sticks and you put them on the outside of your property where the road is so you know where the road is because it could get so buried in snow. Well, the forecast is for, like I said, a foot of snow by Thursday. So there's going to be people that are going to be in tough situations there, but at least there's some warning. And if it doesn't turn out to be quite as much, you know, that's that's fine, I'm sure. But you got ice storms, like I said, with Michigan. Wisconsin's going to see a lot of that heavy snow. So this is what I call the brace for it. The brace for it, period. Because you have some warning that this massive storm is moving. And it's moving toward where you may be, particularly in the Midwest. But not just the Midwest, it's going toward the Northeast, too. But I think the Midwest is going to get it the worst of every place on the map that I can see, because I keep looking at the map and I keep seeing how it, you know, where it's going. In fact, I keep going back to Minneapolis. They're asking everyone who can move their cars off the streets completely, just do it. Because they know, they just know. Snow removal is going to be a challenge because streets are going to get plowed. How many neighborhoods can they get into to be able to do that, right? So getting ahead of it is key. And they're doing the same thing in Wisconsin. They're doing the same thing in Michigan. They're doing the same thing in Illinois. Trying to forecast what is it that we're going to see. And how can we quickly get to this? And then there's going to be other areas where, of course, you turn to that slick stuff where you get some of the rain, too, as well. And then it's crazy because in the south, particularly in Florida, you know, you're talking about getting temperatures in the upper 80s and even into the 90s. So even into the 90s. So while that's going on, good for Michigan State. Michigan State students said they weren't ready to return to classes after a man killed three students and wounded five back on February 13th. But there were people at Michigan, you know, at Michigan State that said it's about getting back to class. That if you get back to class, it's terrible, it's a struggle, but everybody's going to be on edge anyway. And still, they're still gripped with the grief of these kids that were so randomly shot. And of the hospitalized students, one in fair condition, two in serious but stable, and two in critical condition as of Monday. As of Monday, that's where we are. So the atmosphere was kind of, from the descriptions that I've read, because I was very curious about that turnaround, was kind of a mix of normal and then just seeming like congruent with what was happening. You know, there's the flow of what you normally see on a campus. So students coming out of a classroom building with their headphones on and, you know, texting, because everybody, of course, always has their screens in front of them, and signs that said Spartan Strong and big hugs and, you know, signs all over the place. Welcome home, Spartans, and that kind of thing. But the parking lots were full. And just really, really, really sad. You know, the university knew it wasn't going to be business as usual, but felt like we got to come together. And that coming together let people heal at their own pace, but we've got the environment to try and do what we can do. And their spring break starts on March 6th, so they didn't want to have to keep students out until after that week. And not have to modify too much, and because then you've lost time with the classes being shut down after the shooting, and then trying to work with other students with hybrid class situations and whatnot. I mean, you know, what would they possibly be going through? It's going to take a while for that to heal, especially anybody who knew any of the students that were, obviously, that were hit. I say this all the time, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but for God's sake, it's the worst when you can't go to a mall, you can't go to church, you can't go to a college campus, and you're just sitting in a night class, and someone opens fire, and your world is shattered just like that on a dime. Your thoughts, in fact, some of them, with the kids at MSU. Coming up next, we hit the mailbag. My horse is made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Stick in the mail bag.
Stick in the mail bag.
Yeah.
All right, we didn't have to dig very far. Bob in New Orleans says, Kate, what in the world was Sleepy Joe thinking going to Ukraine? I'm not against support for the Ukrainian people. I won't even tell you what I think of Putin and Russia. I don't agree with people that are all of a sudden waving Russian flags in this country. Ridiculous. But I think it was risky what he did. It might have taken guts in one way, but walking in a war zone could have been disastrous for the United States. Doing it undercover was, I guess, smart, slipping out of Washington in the dark without notice. However, I think it, again, was very, very, very risky and could have been disastrous in many ways, including for the head of the Ukrainian government. If something had happened to Biden, they were pretty much side by side. So can you imagine it? I think somebody should have taken Putin out a long time ago. Obviously, he is got the most secure guards around him that one could have in that position, because I think, as I've heard you say, he's a megalomaniac and he has done nothing to really help the people of Russia, in my opinion. Well, I'm going to agree with you, not helping the Russian people, because they're in a communist country. He is the dictator. He's setting the rules. He's setting the table along with oligarch buddies who are benefiting, and then everybody else is getting squashed. I mean, when you're being told what to do and what is being monitored as to what you're taking in, it's like I say all the time, as much as people can complain about media, just media in general, because there's all different forms of it, and I get it with fake information and ridiculous nonsense that's out there. I mean, it's up to you to make up your mind. But at least we live in a free country where you can absorb what you want to absorb, right? Where Russia, they don't have a choice. They had state-run media. The crap that Putin wants to say and how he wants to spin it is exactly the filter that they live under. We might have filters of a different sort. You got to sort out which what you think. But we live still in a free country, and it's so much different. So, yes, absolutely. All right, I got this one from Max, who says, too much money. Where I stand with the situation with Russia invading Ukraine is, of course, they're going to do that because he's territorial, and he's trying to leave a legacy and snap up whatever was Russian territory in the past. But now we're going into a year, and you think of some of the struggles we have in the United States where there's money that could be spent in better situations. I understand that we are the policemen of the world, and that certainly when it comes to humanitarian efforts, we're giving, giving, giving. But at some point, there's going to be a breaking, breaking, breaking point. And where is that breaking point? And no F-16s. I think that would be a dangerous place to go for the United States. The training alone, as somebody who knows about planes, would, Kate, be just an undertaking that wouldn't be worth it in the first place. Well, yeah, that's the debate, right? Because learning the F-16s, piloting it, and just plus giving them the planes. You know, we're kind of at that cut line. And what is the cut line? How do you decide what the cut line is? Like, is Russia going to attack us? Does the megalomaniac, does he have a list of, okay, these are all the countries that are helping, and especially as powerful as the U.S. is, well, let's just lop them off. Let's just lob something in their direction. Of course, to not have nuclear war and to skate up on that line is part of the game, right? But is there a line where Putin could be pushed over? And the planes, some people feel that the planes could be just that push, which, wow, to think about that. I don't know that I believe that. But there are reasons. That's like putting all the chips on the table. There's no question about that. All right, because in an effort to get everything in, because you are also wonderful in sending me these emails, I'm going to rip through a bunch of them. Joe on MSU, Kate, MSU, should never, ever have happened. I think at some point, I mean, is it going to be that we have practical lockdowns on college campuses, which they're too sprawling and would be ridiculous? I mean, what are we going to do, wall people in to try to protect them? How this maniac decides to pick MSU, there still is no motive that I've seen anywhere. And even if there was a motive be damned, that should not have happened. I read the stories about the kids that were hit, the ones that survived and the ones who were killed. And I have a daughter that went to MSU, and she's devastated, and go Spartans. Go Spartans. That was the message back at school this week. Really, really heavy, heavy hearts. No doubt. Keith wanted to talk about Jimmy Carter. He says, wow, it's got to be kind of a somber President's Weekend for the people in Georgia, but just in general because of Jimmy Carter and the fact that this is really the end, 98 years old, And I think there's things that people don't know about Jimmy Carter. I don't agree with his policies, many of his policies when he was president. You said it best. I mean, why did people of Republicans and Democratic presidents turn to him when they needed help overseas? Because of his manner, the way that he could talk to foreign leaders. So there was something about Jimmy Carter. And I think that there are people in Plains, Georgia, that are proud of what the Carter legacy in that sense has become. And they're preparing for the long goodbye, I suppose, to somebody who put them on the map, that area on the map. Yeah, you know, I saw something on Jimmy Carter. I think it was today. It was today that I didn't realize that he was an expert on, here's our 39th president, okay, but he was an expert when he was a kid. He was in the Navy, and he was an expert when it came to nukes and what he had to do for his job in the Navy. And when he came out of the Navy, so interesting to see that, to learn about that, right? So he wrote over 30 books, not all of them political, a lot of them poetry and talking about other things. He was an advocate for human rights, and he, like I said, had this amazing background as a younger man, some of it that the naval career that I knew he was in the Navy, but I was unaware of some of the specifics of what he did. He was sent to the Naval Reactors Branch of the Atomic Energy Commission in D.C. for 3 months temporary duty. And there was an accident with an experimental NRX reactor at the Atomic Energy of Canada's Chalk River Labs that caused a partial meltdown because there were liters of radioactive water that flooded the reactor's basement, left the core ruined. Carter had to go was ordered to Chalk River to lead a U.S. maintenance crew that joined other American and Canadian service people to assist in the shutdown of the reactor, and he was key on that crew, right? And he'd have to go in. He was lowered into the reactor for a few minutes at a time, and he was one of the main people, so that he would be limited to radioactive activity while they were disassembling the crippled reactor. Can you imagine that? Like I said, I had no idea. All right, I'm going to squeeze another one in, and this one is from Nancy, who says, take cover, folks. If you live anywhere in the northern part of the United States, because we're getting hit with it bad, you're going to be shoveling for quite some time. That's an easy prediction to make, as I know I'm here in the Rocky Mountains. Thanks for all the emails. You can email me too, 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Tip of the cap to Nathan Reeder. Excellent work as always on the technicals. You have a fine ear. And so do all of you for listening to this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter @Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.